Studio, St. Paul, Minneapolis, 830 WCCO. This is a pleasant way to start the afternoon. Pleasant for me. I'll try to pass on my feeling to you. Good Neighbor Time runs from 12 to 1 o'clock, and I'm in charge for part of it. First 5 minutes is sponsored. Sponsored by DeKalb, commercial producers and distributors of DeKalb seed corn, DeKalb chicks, and DeKalb hybrid sorghum. This is a roundup of information on weather and highways. Gradual warming is continuing over CCO land today, and temperatures will reach into the 90s tomorrow. A few showers are expected in the western Dakotas tomorrow, but other than that, fair skies and mild temperatures will continue to dominate the area. Well, I made quite a bit out of those four lines. Let's go to AAA, see what the boys have decided to release on highway conditions.
Hello there, Bob. Good afternoon, motorists. Several streets in downtown Minneapolis are detoured or narrowed now, and tomorrow morning there will be two minor diversions during the wedding of Vice President Humphrey's son. Traffic on South 8th Street will be diverted right at 2nd Avenue South at 9 a.m., and 2nd Avenue South will be barricaded at South 7th Street, turning traffic on to 7th. These should be removed by noon. Nicollet Avenue construction between Washington and 10th through the downtown area is causing some inconvenience on the cross streets, so allow extra time for travel. St. Paul reports Warner Road restricted to a single lane each way east of Sibley Street. Bituminous construction begins today on Minnesota Highway 96, just north of the Twin Cities, between Highways 49 and 61. Expect possible delays on that route. And work continues on Highway 101 west of Minneapolis in two places, one from U.S. 212 near Shakopee north to near Chanhassen on Highway 5, and the other north of State 55 from Hamel to State 152. In Wisconsin, Highway 60 is closed west of Columbus with a bypass set up. Iowa has removed the detour in Eagle Grove on State 60, but resurfacing continues on 60 north from Goldfield to Wesley. South Dakota reports U.S. 14 under heavy construction from Iroquois, west 13 miles of the detour provided. And North Dakota says there are several projects on U.S. 2 in the western half of the state. Check to avoid delays on that route. And that's it. That's your up-to-the-minute AAA Road Report. This is Dennis Bunnis from the offices of the Automobile Club of Minneapolis, returning you to WCCO.
There's an XL explosion over the Corn Belt. Big Yield's outstanding performance has made DeKalb XL the big name for big yields in corn varieties. This year, more farmers than ever before are growing DeKalb XLs. These new modern varieties are shorter, tougher, bred to thrive at high populations in narrow rows, bred to make the most of higher fertility. DeKalb XL varieties are bred to hold their ears well. They're bred to fight disease and insects so that stalks stay green and healthy to harvest. Keep your eye on those tough, uniform DeKalb XL corn varieties this season. They're bred to produce breakthrough yields, and next time, plant all DeKalb XL corn. DeKalb is a registered brand name, and XL numbers are variety designations. Weather state by state. North Dakota fared a little warmer this afternoon and tonight. Partly cloudy tomorrow with a few scattered thundershowers in the west. Lows tonight, 54 to 62, and Fargo now has 75. South Dakota, fair and a little warmer this afternoon, tonight, and in the east tomorrow. Partly cloudy with a few showers in the west tomorrow. Lows tonight, 54 to 62. Sioux Falls, 77. Minnesota, fair and a little warmer this afternoon through tomorrow. Lows tonight, 54 to 62. High tomorrow, 85 to 95. International Falls has 75 degrees and Duluth, 77. 74 degrees at Rochester. Redwood Falls, 75. St. Cloud, 76. Alexandria, 75. Iowa, fair and a little warmer this afternoon through tomorrow. South to southerly winds this afternoon. Low temperature tonight, 55 to 60. Mason City now has 76. Wisconsin, mostly sunny and warmer this afternoon. Fair tonight and tomorrow, with slightly warmer readings tomorrow. Lows tonight in the 50s. High tomorrow, mostly in the 80s. Eau Claire and Wausau has 73 degrees now, and La Crosse has 75. Twin Cities, fair and a little warmer this afternoon through tomorrow. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15, diminishing tonight. It'll be 88 for a high this afternoon, and tomorrow 92. Low tonight, 58, and low tomorrow night, 60. Present temperature, 78 in the Twin Cities. Wind southwest at 10. Barometer, 29.96 and steady. And it's 5 minutes and 5 seconds after 12 o'clock. DeKalb again has brought you the information for a week at high noon on highways and weather. DeKalb, commercial producers and distributors of DeKalb seed corn. Well, are you a mother? And are you ready to start to school? I mean to start your youngsters to school. It means heartier appetites, so check your soup supply. You'll need plenty of Campbell's tomato soup on hand, so stock up today. Tumbling Tumbleweeds is played now with Harry James in the lead. Well, it was Valle con Dios, and Harry James did play it. Now we're going to have a message from Jim Hill. Come on, Jim.
Okay, I'm right here for Smith Douglas. We got some singing Smith Douglas dealers. We're going to get them lined up there in just a minute because these boys really can sing.
What are their names?
Their names are Harvey Peel, who's the manager of the Farmers Elevator Association at Hutchinson, Minnesota, Lyle Kuhlman at the Byron Elevator Company at Byron, Minnesota, and Wilford Klug at the Caledonia Implement Company at Caledonia, Minnesota. Now, Bob, I think you're the kind of a leader who might give the downswing, huh?
One, two.
Increase the yield from your field. Watch your profits swell with Smith Douglas Fertilizer. The only one with prep. Depend on Smith Douglas quality and integrity. Your crops will grow, you make more dough. Yes, sirree. Smith Douglas Fertilizer with Trail. Yes,
sirree. The singing Smith Douglas Fertilizer dealers, and you know this Jim Hill here on behalf of your Smith Douglas dealer, who's in reminding you now to fertilize this fall. And I'll tell you more about that in a moment, but let's talk about those soybeans. Golly, the soybean crop looks good. Talking to a couple of fellas this morning, and they said, well, he needs some warm weather, though, to fill out those pods and get them in good shape and ready for combining. But a University of Illinois ag economist says that the 1966 soybean will carry a $3 price tag and that current prices may drop as the marketing season progresses. Tom Hieronymus, who was speaking to the American Soybean Association's annual meeting here last week or a week ago, predicted the $3 beans despite some uncertainties. He points out the inflationary forces at work in the country, the strong consumer demand for livestock products abroad, as some of the factors helping to support strong 1966 prices. Soybean supplies are still the major uncertainty. It's pretty early in the crop year to estimate the year's yield. Weather, of course, has a major effect on soybean yields now this month and next month, September. And so, of course, he says for this reason, we'll probably see a significant change from the August 1 crop estimate of 860 million bushels. He points out that if we do not produce a crop of 890 bushels, which, of course, would be 30 million more than the August 1 estimate, then higher prices will ration the use of soybeans during the coming marketing year. Isn't that something to think about, rationing of soybeans? Well, the association says that they believe we could get by with a billion bushels of soybeans a year, and that time may be just around the corner. I understand that some of you are cutting your third crop of alfalfa now, and the word from the university is that you ought to do that. You ought to take that last cutting of alfalfa by August 31. Jim Justin says that this practice will help prevent winter kill because then the plants will have more time to build up food reserves before winter. He says if you harvest or graze alfalfa during September or early October, then plant growth is likely to stop when those food reserves are low. So take that final cutting now by the end of this month. Let's see, the 31st, that'd be about next Wednesday, and get the job done by then. Let that fall regrowth come in. Now how about fertilizing in the fall? Boy, this is the time to do it, believe me. Before you plow, put on some fertilizer. Many tests have proved it pays big returns to put fertilizer on your fields in the fall. Of course, it saves you time and effort in the spring, and these real college tests show that fall fertilization is just as effective as when applied in the spring. So apply Smith Douglas Pelliform now, those clean green pellets with optimum water solubility. And it has Trail, the trace elements, an exclusive formula of trace elements in each ton. Pelliform's available in either bulk or bagged goods. So to save time, have clean green Smith Douglas Pelliform bulk spread on your fields and do it this fall. Now you can take the soil samples and we'll get the corn out in time, get soybeans harvested in time so that you can then call your dealer and have him spread the Smith Douglas Pelliform, then do the plowing. Fella to call, Harvey Peel, Farmers Elevator Association, Hutchinson, Minnesota. Lyle Kuhlman, Byron Elevator Company, Byron, Minnesota. Wilford Klug at Caledonia Implement Company in Caledonia, Minnesota. Your Smith Douglas dealers anxious to help you. Okay, I see Bob has returned, so I'll tell you this is Jim Hill for Smith Douglas, but here's the general manager of Good Neighbor Time.
This afternoon at 1 o'clock on WCCO Radio, you'll be on the go at Arco, Idaho, for a special address by President Johnson. I've learned from the WCCO Radio News Bureau that at Cape Kennedy there has been a failure. A Titan rocket blew up shortly after a launch which was to take 8 satellites into orbit. More on that story at 12:30 on our noon news. It's now 12:13.
You'll kick yourself. Yes, kick yourself. If you buy another washer and then realize you could have had advanced Frigidaire jet action to solve today's complicated washing problems. Take the modern no-iron fabrics. Only jet action washers have the durable press care symbol that promises longer wear, better looks. Only jet action has the deep action agitator that gives durable press clothes the thorough but gentle washing they need for good wear and the cold water rinse that avoids wrinkles. Take any problem like bulky towels. Only in jet action can you get a rapid dry 1,000 spin that spins them almost dry. Only jet action is jet simple, jet dependable. No gears, no pulleys, no belts. So, go to your dealer. See more action in Frigidaire jet action.
Some temperatures, which are later than the ones I gave you at high noon. Alexandria has 80 degrees and St. Cloud 78. Redwood Falls 79, Rochester 76. 78 at International Falls and Duluth has 80 degrees. 78 at Eau Claire, Mason City the same. Sioux Falls 81. Pier 82, I think Pier is the highest temperature on the list. Bismarck 78 and Aberdeen the same. Fargo, where are you? 80 degrees at Fargo. It's 15 after 12, and the temperature is 78 degrees. Things are going along nicely here. WCCO Radio News Editor Arv Johnson is going to be at the big reception at Waverly, Minnesota. That's the wedding reception for the son of the vice president. And what else is going on? Chuck Lilligren, the boy auctioneer from Duluth, will emcee the old-fashioned threshing party at 2 o'clock Sunday in Almaland, Minnesota.
Bring home the Coke and say, as long as you're buying one carton, why not buy two? Makes sense. You can never have too much Coke around the house, you know. It's got that taste people never get tired of. Coke after Coke after Coke. Big, bold, tangy, thirst-quenching, always refreshing. So bring home an extra carton of Coca-Cola next time you shop. It means more Coke on hand for the family. And fewer trips to the store for you.
Fun goes better with, you go better with, things go better with Coke. Coke has a taste you can never get tired of. Coke after Coke after Coca-Cola. Things go better with Coca-Cola.
Well, I figure here'd be a good place for Nancy Ames to sing a song that she used to whistle and maybe sing to your girl as you rode in the rumble seat. Here's a very special invitation from your local Philco dealer. He wants you to visit him now during red letter days. This is the time your Philco dealer is spotlighting some mighty fine values on home products of all kinds. You can spot them easily by the big, bright red tags. Take it from me, Philco means quality all the way, combined with the modern new features you want the most. This goes for Philco automatic washers and dryers, refrigerators, kitchen ranges, and air conditioners. Also, Philco radios, color TV sets, and stereos. When you go Philco, you probably will pay just a little bit more, but Philco returns the favor by giving you so much more in the way of quality, features, and value. A member of the Ford Motor Company family of fine products. That's Philco. See your Philco dealer soon for his Red Letter Days values on modern new Philco products for the home. Visit the Firestone stores in Austin or J.C.'s Appliance in Minneapolis.
Now for some special events. Several flower shows this weekend. Tomorrow, 3:30 till 9 at Prudential Insurance, 3701 Wayzata Boulevard, Minneapolis. That's put on by the Affiliated Garden Clubs of St. Louis Park. And a flower show tomorrow and Sunday, the Richfield Men's Garden Club's annual show at the Richfield Library in the community room, 70th and Nicollet. The hours 4 to 9 p.m. tomorrow, noon till 6 on Sunday. The Minnesota Paint or Spotted Horse Show will be held Sunday starting at 9 in the morning, 2 miles west of Taters Falls, Minnesota, at Triple Glen Farm. The Robbinsdale Volunteer Fire Department will sponsor a benefit dance this evening in Medina, Minnesota, at the Medina Ballroom. Color films about Finland and the Mediterranean countries will be shown at 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon at the American Swedish Institute in Minneapolis, 50 cents admission. A color film about Japan will be shown Sunday afternoon at 1:30, 2:30, and 3:30 at the Science Museum in St. Paul, and there's no charge. The Slight Opera Company will present the Gilbert and Sullivan Operetta, The Yeoman of the Guard, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock at the First Unitarian Society, 900 Mount Curve Avenue in Minneapolis.
What about the Robbinsdale Volunteer Fire Department?
Yes, I mentioned that. Benefit dance tonight.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
21. After 12, 78 degrees.
This is Lou Crosby speaking for your case dealer, and I'm going to give you his message straight from the shoulder. Your case dealer would like to count you as a satisfied Case tractor owner and a safe one. So he's making you this proposition. Give him an opportunity to demonstrate the bigger work capacity of a Case high-torque tractor on your farm. No obligation to buy, mind you. All he asks is a chance to prove that Case high-torque performance can make you a more productive and profitable man. In return for your time behind the wheel, he'll thank you with a free SMV highway safety emblem, endorsed by leading safety experts and complete with pole and two mounting brackets for your tractor and trailing implement. Fair enough? Well, pick the high-torque Case tractor you'd like to try, 3-plow to 8-plow, and your participating Case dealer will thank you with a free SMV safety emblem. Offer limited to qualified tractor users. Be safe. Try Case.
Name of that song, Daydream. Daydream, it's a new one. It's 78 degrees in the Twin Cities. Still got another 10 to go for the high this afternoon of 88. We want to put on the markets for you now, Bill and me. Bill and I should say. The Land O'Lakes Dune Livestock Summary and Summary of Other Markets, brought to you by your Land O'Lakes dealers of the Northwest, your one-stop service center for formula feeds, quality seed, and chemically combined plant food. Here's Bill Wittenberg.
Well, thanks, Bob DeHaven, and hi, everybody. Our Friday Livestock Trade centering on an 8,000-head supply through all divisions here in South St. Paul, and we found mostly steady prices coming out of that slaughter steer and heifer trade with a 26-and-a-quarter top noted on some well-finished kinds, choice steers from 25-and-a-quarter to 26, the choice heifers from 24 to 24.50. Then in the dealings on cows, a little softer undertone with the beef cows. In fact, sales looked weak to a half a dollar lower, and there were numerous loads that were still unsold as we moved to broadcast time this noon. The beef cows sold 18 to 18 and a half, a few at the $19 price. Canners and cutters from 16 to 17.50, just a few meaty cutters at 18. In the bull trade, another week to 50-cent lower trend with a 23.50 top on bologna bulls, a $23 top on the beef bulls, and the veal calves look weak to a dollar lower. Nothing much over 36 cents a pound even on those selected kinds. But the stocker and feeder trade was a fully steady affair. We noted sales on some good and choice 700 to 950-pound feeder steers from 24 all the way up to 27. We'll talk a little bit more about that a little later on. Over in the hog trade, a leveling tendency with the butcher hogs working out on a steady basis in line with the week's earlier declines. Sows were steady. The feeder pigs steady to a half a dollar lower. 24.75 stood as high money on the lean and meaty hogs, averaged to good kind sold from 24 and a quarter to 24.50, the light underfinished hogs ranging from 23 to 24. We had a $23 top on the handyweight sows with most of that supply from 19 to 22 and a half, a few wasty kinds down to 18. Feeder pigs sold from 22 and a half to 23. In the sheep and lamb trade, the spring slaughter lambs really took it on the chin in the Friday session. They moved 50 cents to a full dollar lower, 23 and a half to 24, taking choice and prime spring slaughter lambs, some lambs of just choice quality, from 23 to 23.50. But the slaughter ewes and feeder lambs held steady. We had a 6.50 top on the good grade slaughter ewes and sales on choice and fancy feeder lambs from 21 and a half to 23. And I'll be back with more highlights from the trade action here in South St. Paul right after the noontime news, but here's some good words from Bob DeHaven.
I'm going to start the singers off. They're going to sing the same song they sang Wednesday.
Keep them going, going, going with land o'lakes. Get them going, going, going with land o'lakes. Land o'lakes need fertilizer and seed. That's what it takes.
And yes, that's what you need.
To keep them growing, growing, growing. Get them going with land o'lakes.
You know, many farmers think of Land O'Lakes as specialists in dairy feeding programs, and they are. But Land O'Lakes is also at the front when it comes to raising hogs. The complete Land O'Lakes hog feeding program was developed through Cooperative Research Farms, the largest scientific complex of its kind in the USA. Backing up this program is your Land O'Lakes dealer. He's anxious to serve you with the help of your Land O'Lakes field men, veterinarians, and nutritionists. Quality feeds, complete program and service at an economical price. That's what hog racers get from Land O'Lakes.
Growing, 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 get them going with Land O'Lakes.
Where every cent of earnings comes back to the farmer.
Dow Jones interim averages, 1 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 30 industrials, 782.78 down, 9.59. 20 rails, 194.95 down, 3.67. 15 utilities, 121.29, down 1.43. 65 stocks, 272.53, down 3.86. Volume, 5 million shares. Second Minneapolis Grain Bulletin, spring wheat down 1, winter wheat down 1, soybeans down 1, oats down 1, and corn down 1. I had to look at that twice. WCCO will broadcast the Grain Bulletin final changes at 1:35. Country paying prices for eggs, grade A large, 33 to 36, grade A medium, 24 to 29, grade B, 24 to 28, grade C and smalls, 12 to 18. Live poultry, heavy hens and light hens, 6 to 9, cocks, 6 to 7. Turkey review for today. Mostly prices advanced a half cent on all classes. Marketing pattern generally unchanged as supplies continue barely adequate to short. Buyers more aggressive, but trading only moderate. Sellers sometimes indifferent, as nearly ideal growing weather and firmer market tones continue. Reported prices paid live weight at farm since yesterday, ending 11 o'clock this morning. Young hens 22 to 22 and a half, mostly 22 and a half. Young toms 21 to 22, mostly 21 and a half. Fryer roasters 21 and a half to 22, mostly 22. That's the Land O'Lakes report of the markets. In a minute, the news.
Next year, more corn growers will be going to higher populations, narrower rows, and more fertilizing. These new practices alone probably won't give the yield they want. To make these practices really pay off calls for a new seed. Now, there are two new Cargill numbers that out-yielded even the most popular single cross in America. Cargill 880 single cross and Cargill 422 three-way have proven themselves in planting throughout the Corn Belt and in tests conducted by a leading university. Planted at high population and good to excellent soil with the proper care, Cargill 880 and Cargill 422 have a very high yield potential. If you're after the big corn yield, plant Cargill. Cargill 880 and Cargill 422, the numbers that out-yielded the most popular single cross in America.
Spread better, to perform better, better by Cargill seed corn.
78 degrees, and now I'm going to turn Nash around and head him into the news. This is the station with studios in St. Paul and Minneapolis at 830 WCCO.
Here's your noontime news, presented by the largest savings institution in our part of the country, Twin City Federal, where dividends help in an important way to make your savings grow. President Johnson is on another speaking tour today. He started out with a speech at the National Reactor Testing Center in Arco, Idaho. And for that story, we go to CBS News reporter Tony Sargent in Idaho.
Mr. Johnson picked this nuclear power site in the middle of an Idaho desert to push for a treaty banning the use of nuclear weapons in outer space. He says UN Ambassador Arthur Goldberg has told him much of the substance of the treaty has now been resolved. Mr. Johnson expresses confidence that goodwill can resolve the issues still in the way of such a treaty. This spot is an appropriate one for a plea for peaceful uses of atomic energy because it was here that scientists first generated electric power from nuclear energy in 1951. Both the United States and Russia, says Mr. Johnson, possess unimaginable power. At the heart of our concern in the years ahead, he says, must be our relationship with the Soviet Union. And in a reference to Vietnam, Mr. Johnson says he's had to show restraint as well as resolve, to be firm but not to walk heavy-footed along the brink of war. Tony Sargent, CBS News, with the president in Idaho.
Camp your way around the USA. That's the slogan of many thrifty vacationers these days. And here's another slogan that'll take you a long way. Tuck a buck a day away. Save regularly at Twin City Federal for a big vacation next year. That's the happiest kind of saving. As those dollars are growing, you can see a lot of fun shaping up. Next summer, call on your Twin City Federal savings account and take off on a paid-up vacation. Sound good? Well, you can make it good. Stop in where that famous twin clock flashes the time and the temperature. Do something good for yourself. Start saving up for next year's vacation. Next year's goals at Twin City Federal. 8th and Marquette is the address in Minneapolis. 6th and Robert in St. Paul. Branch offices in Anoka, Robbinsdale, Edina, Excelsior, Southdale, Harmar Mall in Roseville, and 56th and Nicollet. Twin City Federal, the home of the happiness business, thrift. Governor Warren Knowles of Wisconsin has made the National Guard available to prevent violence in the town of Wauwatosa, as requested by the city's mayor. Mayor Irvin Meyer had appealed for state help to prevent trouble during Negro demonstrations planned for the weekend in the suburb of Milwaukee. The governor said 450 guardsmen already ordered out for training in the Milwaukee area could be used in an emergency. The now famous Nemirov letters urging Minneapolis lawyers to back Governor Rovog has come under more criticism, this time from DFL gubernatorial candidate Cyrus Magnuson. He's requesting the Ethics Committee of the Minnesota Bar Association to investigate Nemirov's actions and motives. The Minneapolis City Council this morning unanimously passed a new civil rights ordinance. The law combines the present Fair Employment Practices Commission and the Mayor's Human Relations Commission and provides a more comprehensive fair housing provision. The ordinance the council passed is known as the Denny form, which differs somewhat from the original so-called Flackney bill that came out of a study committee. The Denny bill exempts both owner-occupied duplexes and owner-occupied rooming houses from the general provision that forbids discrimination in sale or rental of housing. The Flackney bill did not exempt owner-occupied duplexes. The Denny bill also includes what is called an anti-riot provision that makes it illegal for groups to organize for the purpose of creating civil disobedience. Reverend Stanley King said he objects to this provision because it does not allow persons to release their frustrations and because it leaves the question of determining positive or negative purpose of demonstrations to the courts. But the general criticism of the bill by civil rights leaders centered on enforcement provisions, with many claiming it did not give the new commission adequate power to enforce its orders. King told WCCO Radio News his objections to the enforcement and the owner-occupied duplex exemption provisions.
Why should we work for the passage of a bill this year that doesn't have the real strength that it should have, and then turn right around another year, another 2 years, and get on the bandwagon again and fight for a little stronger bill, and then another 2 years you fight for a little... Why not just do it and get it over with, and then go ahead and live with the law?
Reverend Stanley King. The 1966 Minnesota State Fair officially gets underway at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning, and officials are hoping the attendance for the 10-day event will pass last year's 1,176,000. During your visit to the fair, be sure to stop by the WCCO Radio Center and see firsthand how we operate. At the fair, you can also cast a secret straw ballot on Minnesota candidates. See your vote counted and hear the statewide results on WCCO Radio. Authorities are continuing dragging operations in the Mississippi River for the body of a man from Red Wing, Minnesota. The Goodhue County Sheriff's Office says 36-year-old Roger Eugene Irwin of Red Wing jumped, apparently on a dare, about 75 feet from the Hiawatha Highway Bridge over the Mississippi. Authorities said Irwin and three companions had been drinking. Last-minute preparations are being made for one of Minnesota's biggest weddings of the year. Robert Humphrey, son of Vice President Hubert Humphrey, and Donna Erickson will be married in St. Olaf's Catholic Church in Minneapolis tomorrow morning. WCCO Radio newswoman Barbara Beerhalter will attend the wedding and will give listeners a first-hand account of the festive event. Later in the day, WCCO Radio correspondent Arv Johnson will report from the scene of the reception at Waverly, Minnesota. There still appears a possibility that President and Mrs. Johnson might attend, but this won't be known for sure until tomorrow morning. Young Humphrey had asked his brother-in-law, Bruce Solomonson, to be the best man. His brothers, Hubert and Douglas, will be among the groomsmen. Wayne Olson, the DFL candidate for Attorney General, today proposed that the legislature give the state the right to appeal court orders, barring the use of evidence in criminal cases. Olson said that because of the uncertainty of the law on many points, it is essential that the state be given the right to appeal. Only in this way, he said, can we obtain a rapid final decision which can be applied to the case under consideration in all future cases. Turning to another point, Olson commented on his campaign and said that he's working on a very low budget. He said, however, that he thinks it's impossible for anyone to buy an election in Minnesota. Olson also commented on charges that the outcome of the DFL primary could affect the popularity of Vice President Humphrey.
No, I wouldn't think that the election would have any bearing on Humphrey's position, and I think it would be desirable for all candidates to not place any of our incumbent office holders in any position that might be embarrassing in any way.
That was Wayne Olson, the DFL candidate for Attorney General. Minnesota Senator Walter Mondale today introduced his so-called Clean Lakes Bill in the Senate. The senator commented on the need for such a proposal.
My measure provides funds for developing techniques for dredging out contaminated lakes and preventing future pollution. This measure is needed because literally thousands of American lakes are dying slow organic deaths. We're very proud of our Minnesota lakes. They give us peace of mind and recreation such as boating and fishing and swimming. But unless we act now to prevent the buildup of sludge and slime and sewage, we may lose our lakes forever.
Senator Walter Mondale. Hundreds of gallons of gasoline spilled over a three-block-long residential area at Worthington, Minnesota today. No one was injured. The flood of gasoline resulted from a collision between a truck and a tanker truck. We'll check the weather in a minute.
Tuck-a-buck-a day away at Twin City Federal. When you tuck-a-buck-a day away, it's true. Your money keeps working for you. So tuck-a-buck-a day away, save it for a sunny day.
Tuck-a-buck-a day away.
Tuck-a-buck-a day away.
Tuck-a-buck-a day away at Twin City Federal.
You don't have to give up passbook convenience to earn a generous return. Twin City Federal pays a generous return. Current rate, 4.5% per year, gives you passbook convenience, too. Put in any amount, anytime, take out money when you need it, without waiting for the end of a given time period.
Tuck-a-buck a day away.
Tuck-a-buck a day away.
Tuck-a-buck a day away at Twin City Federal.
Gradual warming is continuing over CCO land this afternoon. It's expected to continue over the weekend. Wisconsin, mostly sunny this afternoon. Tonight's cranberry bogs will be mild, 40-degree temperatures. Minnesota, fair, a bit warmer this afternoon through tomorrow. Lows tonight, 54 to 62. High tomorrow, 85 to 95. Twin Cities, fair, a little warmer this afternoon through tomorrow, with a high today of 88. Low tonight, 58. High tomorrow, 92. 78 degrees this noon on the Twin Clock under clear, sunny skies. And that's the noontime news. Jurgen Nash speaking for the home of thrift in our wonderful part of the world. Twin City Federal, where safety always comes first.
Get yourself set for another dramatization of The Man from Minnesota. What does he think about filter smoking? We're here at 27th and Nicollet in Minneapolis to lay it out for you. You are from Minnesota, sir?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly where?
I know a place you heard from, right facing the road, Bowabing.
Oh, out in the country?
Mm-hmm. City's fine and all that, but I like room. I like country.
Independent?
Oh, maybe. I just like more room than the next guy. I don't know.
What about you and filters?
Oh, yeah, well, I finally did it.
You mean you got one?
Yeah.
Tell me something. You said finally. Why finally?
Oh, you know, most filters, there's nothing to them.
Oh, sure. Well, we say, why smoke them if you can't taste them?
I don't know how they get by. There's no flavor.
But you finally got one.
Finally.
Old gold filters?
Yep.
Anything you want to say about them?
Well, what can I say, except for a guy like me, flavor man. That is, they're the answer. That's all, I guess.
Thank you, sir. Old Gold Filters, the cigarette for independent people. A delicious mixture of rich tobacco flavors. Flavors that never came through a filter before.
Now, direct from the Northwest's number one livestock marketing center in South St. Paul, the firms affiliated with the Livestock Market Institute bring you the up-to-the-minute, on-the-spot analysis of the livestock trade. Sitting in for Bob Carlson, Bill Wittenberg.
Many thanks, Jürgen Nash, and hi, everybody. Winding up an interesting week in our livestock dealings here in South St. Paul with a Friday trade session that centers on 8,000 head of livestock and a series of mixed buying trends that took that supply. The real highlight of the trade coming from the big Friday action auction, the trade action there centering on more than 1,000 head of livestock and the buyers from a wide area offering ready outlet at fully steady prices. The best buying demand and the strongest trends came on the thinner, greener cattle, while the fleshier kinds weren't quite as popular as we noted in last week's session. But in that trade, we did find sales on good and choice 550 to 950-pound feeder steers at spread from 24 to as high as 27 cents a pound. We noted just good grade steers in the 550 to 1,000-pound weight range from 23.5 to 25.5. And we saw some medium quality feeder steers from 21 to 24.50, with most of the Holstein feeder steers in a spread from 21.5 to 22.5. Feeder heifers of choice quality spread from 23 to 23.50. We noted some good grade feeder heifers from 21 to 23, and a load of Holstein heifer calves that cashed at 27 cents a pound on replacement account. Then, too, we had some good grade 320-pound bull calves. They sold at 29 and a quarter, and some other good grade 415-pound steer calves that sold at 27.10. Elsewhere in our slaughter trade here in South St. Paul today, the best action came out of the hog division, where prices leveled off after some rather sharp declines posted during the past week. The butcher hogs were steady, the sows were steady, the feeder pigs looked unevenly steady to a half a dollar lower, and the boars worked out on a steady basis. $24.75 was high money on those lean and meaty offerings, with average to good hogs from 24 and a quarter to 24 and a half. There was a $23 top on handy weight sows, with most of that supply from 19 to 22.50. Then we saw feeder pigs in a spread from 22.5 to 23, and boars from 15.5 to 17. In the sheep and lamb trade, those spring lambs took it on the chin, moving 50 cents to as much as a full dollar lower, while the slaughter ewes and the feeder lambs held steady. 23.5 to 24, taking the choice in prime spring slaughter lambs. We noted cull to good slaughter ewes from 4 to 6.50, and sales on choice and fancy feeder lambs from 21.5 to around 23. Incidentally, out of the Northfield area, Carl Hunter had the Arrington brothers bring in five unshorn 4-H lambs. They averaged out at 93 pounds, sold straight away at 24. In the cattle trade, the slaughter steer and heifer dealings were mostly steady. We had a few well-finished steers up around 26 and a quarter to set the pace. Choice steers sold from 25 and a quarter to 26. The good grade offerings from 23 and a quarter to 24.75. Then in the dealings on heifers, nothing really to test the top end of that trade, but there were a few choice offerings from 24 to 24.50 and good grade heifers from 22 and a quarter to 23 and a half. The cows looked weak to mostly a half a dollar lower. Quite a few cows still unsold at broadcast time. Beef cows selling from 18 to 18 and a half. A few early sales at 19. Canners and cutters 16 to 17.50. Just a few meaty cutters at 18. The bulls looked weak to a half a dollar lower. Bologna bulls sold from 21 and a half to 23 and a half. The beef bulls from 20 to 23. And then veal calves dipped unevenly weak to a dollar lower, with nothing over 36 cents a pound, even on those selected veal calves, the good and choice offerings selling from 26 to around 34. And earlier this morning, we had a nice visit from a couple of lovely young ladies out of the Wanamingo area, Chandra Henslin and Cheryl Henslin. Chandra, who's 10, and Cheryl, who's 11, stopped by our Institute studios to say hello, and it was real nice to talk to them. As I said earlier, it's been an interesting week in livestock dealings. I think we should take a look at some of the net price changes that have come out of the past week's livestock trade. For example, these butcher hogs figure $2 to as much as $2.50 lower than they were just a week ago. The sows are closing the week $1 to $1.50 lower. The feeder pigs reflecting $1 to $1.50 decline. But that's contrasted by the trade on boars. They closed the week on a steady basis. In that sheep and lamb trade, the slaughter lambs are $1 to $1.50 lower for the week. The slaughter ewes and the feeder lambs are about steady for the week's trade. Then in the cattle division, we found the slaughter steers and heifers ranging unevenly steady to 25 cents lower than they were just a week ago. The cows are 50 cents to mostly a dollar lower. The bulls actually closing on a generally steady basis. The veal calves ranging steady to a dollar or lower. And those stocker and feeder cattle working out in a fully steady trade. Golly, our time's gone for today and for the week. Bob Carlson will be back on Monday with a full and complete report of the livestock trade action that develops in our Monday trade session. I hope you'll be listening, and I hope to one day real soon now you'll come see us here at the top market at the top of the nation in South St. Paul, Minnesota.
All right, Bill, it's 12:45, and the temperature in the Twin Cities is 78 degrees, and now Maynard Spies reports our noon farm report direct from the fairgrounds.
Well, greetings from the Minnesota State Fair. This is Maynard Spies speaking for the Pioneer Hybrid Corn Company, the producers of Pioneer corn, sorghum, and alfalfa seed and highline layers. This is the first program originating from our WCCO Center. We call it Studio 7 at the Minnesota State Fair. And we're going to visit with some of the people who are here pulling the switches and arranging things for the grand opening this afternoon. Actually, we're going to have the crowning of the new Princess Kay of the Milky Way in front of the grandstand show this evening, so we hope you can drop over sometime this afternoon. Leonard Harkness is probably one of the busiest men around the ground because during the 10 days of the fair, he'll have charge of what, some 3,000 4-H club members who will be here.
Well, I won't really assume charge of them, Maynard, but we'll try to do a good job of hosting 3,500 4-H members who have won their trips to the state fair and will be vying in competition in a great number of fields.
One of the things that I always enjoy about the state fair is the tremendous variety of projects they have. Actually, when you consider the places that they come from, many of them are actually rural, small-town people rather than farm people. Some of them are on the urban fringe of the Twin Cities and other larger cities around the state. And there are projects to fit these members that do not actually live on a farm.
Yes, 71% of our 4-H members do live on farms, Maynard, but surprisingly, about 10% of our 4-H members live in urban homes, that is, city homes. And the balance, about 20%, live in non-farm homes, but out in villages or on the countryside, but not on farms. And there is a project for most every boy or girl, ranging all the way from entomology to the traditional livestock projects and home economics projects.
One of the things that I get a kick out of is the photography project, because many of these young people are very adept at taking pictures, and this is one way they can report back to the other club members about their trip to the Minnesota State Fair. And I think, as a matter of fact, about one out of every five 4-H club members brings a camera.
That's right, and here's an example of a project that does relate to the other 4-H projects, and it's a project where we, as is true across the board, we emphasize the why as well as the how, the science of picture taking as well as the technique. And this is an emphasis that we find throughout 4-H, emphasizing an understanding of why things happen as well as how to do things.
I think that there are people, believe it or not, who are comparatively new to our community, visitors who are in our area on vacation and otherwise, that may not know that the club members do actually sleep and eat at the Minnesota State Fair grounds.
I think I'd put sleep in quote marks because sometimes I wonder if they get as much sleep as they need. I don't need to put eat in quote marks because I know they eat all they need and then some.
Well, this is certainly true, but there are facilities for the club members, and in the early part of the fair, the livestock members sort of stay home and come in at a later date because there just isn't room enough for the club members taking livestock projects.
That's right. The 4-H and FFA both come in at the end of the fair, and we call that the youth division of the livestock show at the fair. The adult exhibitors take over the entire facility the first 6 days of the state fair, and then the big influx of young people, the 4-H and FFA exhibitors, the last 4 days of the fair.
Give us a little idea of what they'll be doing. Now, tomorrow really is the official opening of the fair, but you'll have people who are demonstrating all during the first 3, 4, 5 days. You have the talent group coming in, I know, for the big show on Wednesday night. The dress review girls will be in along the middle of the week and the livestock people at the end of the week. Is this a pretty good rundown of the agenda?
When I left the 4-H building, Maynard, there were about 500 4-H members and leaders putting up 80 county booths. And you can imagine the kind of racket we had in the building with sawing and hammering and all of this sort of thing. And tomorrow, in addition to our own 4-H'ers, we will be extending a welcome to 35 4-H members from Ontario who are coming down to see how we do it at the Minnesota State Fair. And then there will be three different dress review programs during the course of the week. So there'll be three different contingents coming in with public dress reviews on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday afternoons. The traditional Share of the Fun Festival takes place on Thursday evening. This is open to the public. And as you said already, the livestock exhibitors come in, beginning with the livestock judging contests, the dairy and general livestock on Thursday. The showing of all of the 4-H livestock exhibits taking place on the final Saturday of the state fair. There's something happening all the time, including a few parties thrown in for good measure.
Well, a pleasure to visit with Leonard Harkness, our state 4-H club leader, talking about some of the activities here at the Great Minnesota State Fairgrounds. There's something going on all of the time, and if you were here practically every day of the fair, you'd find something new and different to talk about. We're going to talk about apples for just a moment with Tommy Ahmet, who for, 15 years or more, was fruit entomologist for the state of Minnesota. His father, Thor, was, 35 years as state entomologist?
35 years as state entomologist, 45 years with the university.
And I think you probably heard us talking about Stillwater Orchard, but your capacity here at the Minnesota State Fair in charge of the apple booth in the Ag Hort building actually is an industry representation.
That's right, Maynard. The entire fruit wing of the Ag Horticulture building is put on by the Minnesota Fruit Growers Association.
And you sell apples?
Yes, we sell apples. We like to think of the apples that we sell at the state fair as being a darn good toothbrush. And this is the way a lot of people use it at the state fair. We have the candy and the hot dogs and all these goodies.
Pink lemonade, yeah. Foot-long hot dogs.
There's nothing better to brush the teeth with than a nice, big, juicy red beacon apple. And that's what we have available this year, some beautiful beacons, some of the nicest ones we've ever had. They've been picked within the last 2 days, so they're very fresh and they're cool.
Well, if you folks visit the Minnesota State Fair, you'll want to go into the Ag Hort building. This is the big octagonal building right at the top of the fair grounds, and you can hardly miss it. It's near the Sky Ride. It's near our WCCL radio booth here on just below the old mill down a little ways from the Ag Hort building. So if you drop in there, pick up an apple, you'll find that there are some beautiful apples available. And in this connection, I guess the supply is going to be rather plentiful this year, Tommy.
Yes, it looks like a good year for the Minnesota apple growers. And by the way, the money that is made as a profit on the sale of beacon apples is used for promotion of Minnesota apples. And this year is a big year in our history. We're 100 years old. We were established in 1866, the Minnesota Fruit Growers Association, at the Rochester State Fair, at the Minnesota State Fair in Rochester. And the exhibits by the growers in the competitive field in the wing are going to be the most beautiful we've ever had. And this is going to be a nice year, a good year for the Minnesota Fruit Growers Association.
All right, a real pleasure to visit with Tommy Ahmet. Drop in and see him in the Agriculture Horticulture building. Now, if you're visiting the state fair, there's one place I don't want you to miss, and that's the Big Pioneer booth on Machinery Hill, just above the big Lee Overhaul sign. Howard Miller from Glencoe, Minnesota, is with us to tell us a little about it. Actually, you planted the plot, didn't you, Howard?
Well, yes, Mayor, the same as I have for 17 years. My boys take care of it throughout the summer and water it. And we put plenty of fertilizer, of course, and side dress it and so forth.
Now, this corn is actually grown right in the same soil one year right after another. That must pose some problems because every year it looks beautiful, and I don't think it's ever looked better than it does this year.
Well, Maynard, nowadays, you know, we have a lot of aids to help us with insecticides and fertilizers and so forth, so actually it's not very much of a problem to grow corn on corn.
Give us some idea of the things that are growing in this demonstration plot.
Well, there's a number of them, Maynard, and we'll just touch on the newer ones because of lack of time. 3884 is a new generation hybrid, an 85-day maturity. 3956 is a new single cross, 95-day. 3943 is a single cross of 95-day. 3911 is a 100-day single cross. 3676 we had last year, but it's an outstanding double cross hybrid. Then, of course, we have 3775, which is a a very outstanding single cross. And 3773 will be new, and the difference between 3773 and 3775 will be the texture. They'll be harder textured, which many farmers rent today for combine purposes.
Uh-huh.
Then there's 3755, another single cross. And 3558, 115-day single cross, which, incidentally, Maynard has the highest yield in the corn performance trials in Minnesota for 3 years. And then we have 3584, another 115-day single cross.
So they range in maturity, then, from about 85 days to 115 days. Each one of them, the new generations, along with some that have been planted for a number of years, are available. Mm-hmm. And you have nice, cold drinking water, I know, because I had a drink when I was up there today earlier.
We would sure like to have all of our friends, everyone stop and see the plot, and there would be chairs there. If you get weary, you can rest a little bit. I should mention, Maynard, also, we have hybrid sedan grass growing there, as well as forage sorghum growing at the plot.
Well, that's right. So you folks drop in at the big Pioneer display on Machinery Hill, just above the big Lee overall sign. That's our first portion of our Noontime Farm Report, brought to you by the producers of Pioneer corn, sorghum, alfalfa seed, and Highline Layer. During the Minnesota State Fair, one of the things which we always look forward to is the new things that are available on Machinery Hill. The Minnesota South Dakota Retail Farm Equipment Association is sponsoring a special series of programs to tell you about what's new on Machinery Hill. And when you visit the Minnesota State Fair, you'll see the machinery that is sold and serviced by franchise farm equipment dealers who are members of the Retail Farm Equipment Association of Minnesota and South Dakota. So be sure to visit Machinery Hill. There's over 85 acres this year, 88 acres, I believe, now. Isn't that right, Mr. Hardy?
Yes, it's grown to over 80 acres some years ago, Maynard.
This is Mr. M.C. Hardy of the Alice Chalmers Equipment Company, who have their booth on Machinery Hill, and I'm sure that you folks have visited the fair before. I know right where they're located. Let's talk about some of the new things in farm equipment.
Well, I guess the thing that we're featuring mainly this year, Maynard, are our Gleaner combines, and this comes from being because of our national championships 3 out of the last 4 years, and you know how it is. If it's the truth, you can brag about it. And this year, we're featuring 11 new corn heads with these Gleaner combines, all the way from 2-row 40 up to 8-row 20. And then along with those corn heads, we're featuring some new 12-row cultivators. And we have a new Erector Set planter. This is a planter that is designed from three main two-bar frames. On the front frame, you put your groundworking tools, or you can put wheels on for wheel track planting. The second frame, you put your fertilizer. The third frame, your planting, and then your herbicide and insecticide. But this narrow row planting has gone over real, real good. And in fact, right now, it's kind of a shortage of material to keep up with it.
You know, Mr. Hardy, I've often wondered whether the farm equipment people are the followers or the leaders, in a sense, because you have to design equipment that will fit the practices that the man is using out on the farm. Now, the transition period between 40 or 44-inch rows and much narrower rows, which seems to be the popular thing today, must pose a problem for the equipment manufacturer.
Yes, for an example, right now we're not certain where will it end up, 20 or 30-inch rows. More farmers went to 20-inch rows this year than we anticipated. We thought they'd probably go to 30, then to 20, but many of them are jumping immediately to 20. And, of course, this creates a problem for us and them, too, because they have to revise their complete schedule of farm machinery.
Of course, the traditionally in the past we started with the one-row picker. I'm thinking now of the mechanical corn picking contest, which each year seems to go to a little bit larger equipment. But we started with a one-row contest, and that's been dropped from the contest altogether. We start with a two-row contest now and go to four and combines and picker shellers so that the picture in harvesting corn has changed, and the equipment is changing with it.
Oh, yes. There are combines today that can field shell 600 bushel an hour, and that takes a lot of equipment to dry it and haul it away and store it, and et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have a full-line equipment company. You have tractors, you have planting equipment, you have cultivating equipment, you have harvesting equipment. Am I correct?
Yes, this year we've even gone a little bit further. We've taken the production from Opal Manufacturing Company at Boise, Idaho, and so we have a complete line of potato and beet harvesting equipment. And then on Wednesday, the 31st, which is Dealer's Day, Maynard, we're going to introduce a new line of industrial equipment to our dealers. Our new line of I-40 equipment and their I-400 equipment and I-600 equipment.
Mm-hmm. Well, a real pleasure to visit with Mr. M.C. Hardy of the Alice Chalmers Equipment Company talking about some things that are new at the Minnesota State Fair. And this is Maynard Spies returning you to your local announcer.
This is local announcer speaking. The temperature in the Twin Cities is 78 degrees, and the time is 1 o'clock. And in just a few seconds, we are going to bring you a special address by the President of the United States from Idaho. Baseball tonight, you'll hear the Twins and the Chicago White Sox opening an important series from Comiskey Park in Chicago. And this is a 7:55 start this evening, starting with the Sam Mealy Show. Then you'll hear the whole game, of course, and the scoreboard afterward right here on the 830 spot on the dial. When you visit the Minnesota State Fair, be sure to come by the WCCO Radio Center. We'll be there with live broadcasts every day and evening. We'll give you a chance to win one of the 100 radios we're giving away. And you can see our engineering and news bureau operations. Even enjoy a drink of ice-cold spring water if we have that kind of weather, and chances are we will, because the temperature is going up into the 80s and 90s over the weekend. So we'll see you at the Fair, I hope, starting tomorrow. We call it Studio 7, our radio broadcast center.